Okay, Samach Gimel on page 544. We're up to Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk about going to sleep. What should a person do when he goes to sleep at night?
Well, today is also the first Tainus Kama of Beza.
Yes, today is Slichas. Yes, today I already davened. They said Bahab.
They
davened Slichas? Avada, yeah.
A
lot of places say Slichas today. We had to say Hurachum. That's the real killer. After the Slichas, you have to say the long Hurachum. But Menachem Sperling, he davened with Rav Haliwa, and he was a Sandik. He's a Sandik later today. So in his million, they didn't have to say Hurachum. There's no Hanah in this world when you're expecting to say Hurachum, and all of a sudden they give a clap. Wow, what a Tainug is so great, that Tainug. Wow, we don't have to say that he won the lottery.
Right.
Okay, let's learn. A sandik, you don't say, even if the bris is not in that location. Okay, we're up to page 544, we're up to Mizmor Samach Gimel, we're in the middle, we're up to Pasik Zayin. In Zichartiha al Yitzuoi. Be'ash murois ehege bach. The word im here does not mean if. According to everyone, im means when. Whereas the Mitzuda says be'emes. This is a reality. The truth is, the facts are, zichartich al yitzu'oi. When I lie down on my bed to go to sleep, I think about you. And we fulfill this every single day. When a person goes to sleep, there's an obligation to recite kriyashma al hamita. Kriyashmash alamit, when a person goes to sleep, you say kriyashma, and you say a bracha, bracha samapil, b'sheimu malchus. So when a person actually, when he goes to lie down, you really whistle backwards, al yitzo, when a person's on his bed, it's im zicharticha, I will remember you. I will say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I will make the bracha samapil with the shame Hashem. So we actually fulfill this that it says here in this pasuk. And then it says be'ash murois. Now, what's be'ash? We know everyone knows the beginning of Masechta Brachos. Right, ash murois. Okay, there are three mishmaros. There are three machlokes. Are three mishmaros? Are there two mishmaros? Three? Are there four mishmaros? But there are mishmaros. And when did David wake up? David was said that he got up in the middle of the night. During the Ash Murois, this is the plural. Okay, it's grammatically it's a little bit we have to we have to delve into exactly with precision what this means, but according to one approach is that David is making a declaration that I will wake up in the middle of the night during one of the changing of the mishmar in Shemayim, right? The Gemara begins with the bracha, so the three mishmaros, four mishmaros, Nafkamin is one of the chatzois. I will wake up during a change in Mishmar in order to meditate about you, to think about you. Okay, let's see this. That's the basic gist of this puzzle with more precision in the midst of the 7 Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin is im zichartiha be'emes. The truth is zichartiha. Bihiyoisi al yitzua. When I lie down to go to sleep, I think about you, Hashem. Uvi ashmurois halayla kishani mekitz. The Mitzudas learned that this refers to waking up. When I wake up in the middle of the Me'ashayna, Me'chashev anibach, I think about you. Rashi is a little bit different. Rashi, Pasik, Zayin al Yitzu'oi, Kishani Shechev al Mishkavi, Ani Zoicher Ahavoscha, I think about, I remember your love, Ahavoscha, the love that I have for you. Someone told me yesterday, someone actually was listening to one of the shiurim. I can't believe someone actually listened. Like Rash, I told you, I'll make a kiddush. If I have find out someone listens to the shiur, a recording of the shiur, like, wow. So someone commented that I told over a story, and he told me I got the story wrong. The story I told you was that there was a child.
Listeners like that. Yeah. Okay.
There was a child. I'm not even sure I really paid attention to the correction, but the child was in a hospital, I think, and the doctor asked the child, "What do you do when you're in a lot of pain?" So the child said, "I think the words Ein Oid Milvado." So what is this? So the doctor, I don't know if the doctor was religious. It was like a very Tamimistic child who thinks that the whole world doesn't go past the Garden State. The whole world is Lakewood. So you go to the hospital. Of course, everyone is a maimon, and you know, a little child, very, very innocent. And I think ein oid milvado. So I don't even know if the doctor knows what those words mean. Like this child thinks that. Of course, doctor knows. You know, everyone knows Yiddishkeit. So the doctor got a sense, it's like a religious thing. He says, oh, you mean that you think about that you love God. That you love God. So the child looks at that and says, no, not that I love God, that I'm loved with a capital D by God. Not that I love God, that God loves me. I'm loved with a capital D. So the child said this. Not that the capital L. I'm loved. I have nothing to worry about. Hashem loves me. I am a recipient of Hashem's love. Unbelievable, huh? What a story for the books. So here.
Wait. What did the guy say was a mistake?
No. So I said in the story that the child said Einoid Malvadoi, and like that was that's all I said in the shir. The child tells the doctor that I love God. I think about Hashem. I think about and that's what puts me at peace. You know, with the pain that I'm dealing with. So there's no, that's not the story. That's a beautiful story as it is, it's true, but there's much more depth to the story. The depth of the story is that the doctor said, oh, you mean you think about loving God? So, no, not that I love God, I am loved by God. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing insight. This is a child, and the doctors, they're like, this child probably has more, his IQ is probably greater than the sum of all the people in the room. Like they always say that on one of the people that I listen to. Child must have been about 10 years old, I think. 10 years old, maybe 9. I don't know. I think around, something around that. 9, 10 years old. And the person who corrected me knows this child.
I know somebody who almost like that kind of story because he was my son's classmate. And they were playing basketball, and the basketball smashed him in the face. And the first thing, what would you say? Don't tell me. But he said, Kapara l'lashon hara.
Wow.
A child.
Yeah. Wow. And today he happens to be a big...
big Rashi, a big mashpia, Talmud Chacham, Yerush Shemayim. Say Rashi, it's not a column to say Rashi today.
Don't tell me.
Rashi means you're a fundraiser. Unfortunately, chaval. But yeah, I hear. You know, it's all there. Everything is when you're a child, the whole person is there. I remember my friend, the famous Rabbi Fran, you know, my friend, it's Kodesh Kodashim. So he said that he went to a reunion, I don't know, whatever it was, how many years since he graduated high school, elementary school, and his whole class was there. And it was very boring. I'm surprised he said this, you know, on tape. We'll get back to them. Maybe he didn't say that. And they also had their yearbook on the table. And he's looking through the yearbook, and he's looking around at the people, and he says, "It's amazing. Nothing has changed. The personality, the personality, and the mannerisms, and the whole manner of dealing with, interacting with people in all these years, around the table, the same thing, nothing. Everyone is exactly the same. People have matured, you know, people have accomplished very great things. Some of them told me they're chachamim, but it's all there. A little child, a one-day-old child, you look at the child and they see the way the child behaves. That's life. It's all there. And the people that are very, very great, they're very great when they're very young. And then my grandfather had a connection with Rav Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. My grandfather used to send him talmidim. He was a feeder. He was a feeder. RJJ was one of the main feeders of Lake. Lake was a teeny yeshiva. There were 15 boys when it first started. And it was a teeny place, and Aaron was, you know, whatever, so he was busy. And other yeshivas had to send boys, and my grandfather used to work very hard on some boys to, you know, to encourage them that they should go. So my grandfather, I don't know the details. He had a connection. My mother always would tell me that my grandfather would say, Rav Aaron Kohler was Rav Aaron Kohler when he was 30 years old. He was the same Rav Aaron Kohler. The people they were terrified from him. They sittered, they shook from him when Rav Aaron Kohler was 30 years old. It wasn't like, you have to become 90 years old to have this Yiras Haroimimus. The people that are great, they were great when they were 30 years old. They were great when they were 20 years old. Look at the Haggadah. Harenik ben Shivim Shana. How old was he? He was 18 years old. It's so true. People, they are who they are, really, the Etzim at a very young age. Okay, so people that have a little bit more respect, they have their fame, their reputation gets greater, but people are very much a finished product by the time they're 30 years old.
It's a very apropos expression. Child is the father of man.
The child is what?
The child is the father of man.
A father of man.
The father of man.
I have also two yahrzeits today. One is Esther, Bas Rav Yaakov, couple.
Leah Nishmasa.
Her son was one of the first Talmidim there.
Where? In Lakewood? Where? Talmidim where?
Lakewood.
Of Aaron Kohler, okay.
Upstate New York.
Okay.
His son was murdered.
Was murdered?
In Yom HaTzma'ot in Israel 74 years ago.
Really? When a terrorist attacked? Terrorist attack? War? During the war independence?
Yeah, it was home learning, and what's called? Someone came in to rob the house. Killed him and the niece. Another aunt is Tova Esther Bas Eliyahu.
Tova Esther Bas Eliyahu. May your neshama have an aliyah, or learn for their neshamas. Okay, so this is what it says over here. This is David over here. It says imzachatir nalti over here. Okay, let's go to that. Now this is Rashi and the Mitzudos. Okay, so over here I got over here al keshanich shechv al mishkavi ani zoicher ahavoscha, your love. I don't know what this means. How do you accurately translate this word? Does it mean that I love you or that I am loved?
Your love for me.
Ahavoscha.
Your love for me.
Is that what it means? Okay, I'm not arguing. I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know grammar. I can't really translate. I have a hard time with this. Does it mean it's a general term which means both? It means your love. What do you mean your love? Does that mean the love I have for you or the love that you have for us or both? It's general catch-all phrase, which means the Ribbono Shel Olam, he loves us and we love him. It's a two-way street. Is that what it means? Or when Dov is lying down, I think about Ahavascha, the love that you have for us. We are loved with a capital D. We are loved. Is that what it means? I don't know. I'm asking you. That's why I told you the story. I can't figure out the precise translation of this word. Of Kavan, what do you want to say?
By the way, we say ve'ahavta le'reyacha kamocha, not et reyacha. Le'reyacha is one way. Ani ohev et
reyacha. You.
I give him.
I'm a giver, not a taker.
In present, okay. In the et ve'katuv ve'ahavta ve'etzager.
Ve'ahavta. You shall love him.
Give him love. Don't expect him.
Exactly. One way.
One way.
One way.
So after et Hashem Elokecha is two ways.
Why?
Because et is in together. Ani ohev oto hu ohev oti. After et Hashem Elokecha.
Ace means im. It means im.
Is two.
Is that really what it means? Ve'ahavta ace Hashem Elokecha.
I'm walking with him.
Okay, that's a chiddush. I never translated like that. I thought ve'ohavta es Hashem Elokecha. I always thought in my mind it means one way. You're making a very interesting distinction between the lamed when it says le, where versus where it says es or es. Okay, it's a new to me. If that's what it means, I accept ve'ohavta es Hashem Elokecha, you shall walk with him in love. In two.
This is a return because he loves. I know that he loves me because he.
Mida connected mida.
He gives me food. He gives me everything.
Hashem
tzilcha. I'm reciprocating.
I hear what you're saying. So Rav Kalman, what do you say it means here in this pasuk? Al mishkavi ani amai. While I lie down on my bed, ani I zocher ahavasicha. Is this one way or is this two ways? Is it one way? And if it's one way, which is the one way? And if it's two, and if it... Oh, yeah? So it means the fact that we're loved. That we are recipients of his love. That's how you want to translate it? Get a sense, right? But it's... Okay, it's like again, the story of the child. I'm loved. Not that I love Hashem, I have nothing to worry about, the fact that I'm in pain. Don't worry, Hashem loves me, Hashem is not trying to harm me. I am a recipient of his love.
By the way, he uses the word Yetsu'i and not Mishkavi.
He's using both. Doesn't it say the other word somewhere over here also?
Yitzati mitati for the Shabbat. Yitzati. It means my bed is I fix my bed, you know, I put my blanket, my sheet.
Everything is prepared. It's arranged. It's arranged. The bed is made. Okay. All right. So that's one point. Now the next will be Ashmurois Halayla. Okay, during the watches. Okay, Beashmeres. You know, Beashmeres. He said it in Slichas.
Yes.
Beashmeres. Amar kidam ticha. Techina, unless down in Chaim, and then you say Vashmar Sabay. Okay, but in the middle of the night, Vashmar Salaila, Ege Bach, Echshoiv Bach. I think the word Ege is a very popular word, it's all over. It means I think about you. I think about you when I wake up. You know, Rashi doesn't say when I wake up. No, Rashi doesn't say that I'm waking up. The Mitzvah stuff is the one that said over here that this part of the passage means when you wake up in the morning, you think about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Machleik is in the Gemara. Machleik is in the Gemara. So there are four, or are there three?
It doesn't say in the pasuk Ashmar is halaylo, Ashmar is haboker. So you don't know.
Oh, you don't know. Right. Well, there are no Ashmaris in the boker.
The last one before the
morning. Three.
That's the middle of the night. That's closest. The last mishmar is the last quarter or the last third of the night, and it ends with boker.
Right.
But the Ashmaris are only found in reference to the night. The night is divided into three or four mishmaris. It doesn't say anywhere, to the best of my knowledge, that the day is divided into mishmaris. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. Maybe we're familiar with the word.
It doesn't say malachim have mishmaris that they
malachim.
The word mishmar is usually used, to the best of our knowledge, the night. The evening is divided into parts. Each portion is called a mishmar. Sometimes we have different opinions. Either there are three mishmaris or there are four mishmaris. It could be, but I'm not familiar with any popular Gemara that says that the day is likewise divided into mishmaris. Okay, so and what does it mean in this context? So the Rashi is silent, but the Mitzvah is very clear. He breaks up the pasuk into two parts. When I go to sleep, I think about you, and when I wake up, I think about you.
Rashi also says
Rashi, but Rashi's not telling us if he's waking up or if he's sleeping. He's dreaming about Hashem. All it says in the pasuk is that the Ashmurois Ege Bach, I think about you. Rashi says that in the middle of the night, in the middle of the mishmaris of the night, while I'm sleeping, I'm dreaming about you.
Every
midnight. Ah, that's the grammar. Every midnight. And it's a very beautiful passage.
Let me install the shape today. I can do counseling also, right?
What does the Sutta also say? Something very interesting. It seems that between each one of these tomorrows, he's waking up and thinking this. Like he's turning over between Mishmar Aleph and Mishmar
Beis. So wake up. I thought it meant he wakes up for good. he wakes up, mamish, in the middle, he wakes up to go learn or to do something. He's saying that he turns over on the bed. He turns over on the bed.
So each time he turns over, maybe that's what he's
trying. Okay, that he doesn't want to sleep too long in one shot, because the longer you sleep, the deeper you fall into sleep, and the harder it is to wake up. So he gets up every half an hour, to prevent him from entering into rapid eye, REM, rapid eye movement.
And then he's thinking.
Okay, that is very true. They say that during the day, the person take a cat nap. So you look at these articles about, you know, how to take a power nap. They say it's like Goldilocks. If you try to go to sleep for too little, it's not going to help. And if you sleep during the day for too long, it's no good. If you sleep, let's say, like they say, the ideal amount of time for a power nap is 20 minutes. And if you do it for 30 minutes, you're going to ruin the rest of your day, because you're going to fall. Your mind will descend into a deeper sleep. Also today, also people take all these supplements. I don't know how true it is today. Today people take caffeine, they have all these other things they take to perk them up. But if you read these articles, I read this more than once, is a power nap has to be balanced, not too little, not too long, because there's a lot of psychology. There's the mind, the longer a person sleeps, the deeper he descends, his mind descends into a state of unconsciousness. And it's much, much harder to get out of it very quickly. It takes time for the mind to reboot. Okay, it's not for nothing. You know, today it's a little bit quicker. Remember the old days? Reboot, 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 reboot. A technician on the telephone once, I know you called Microsoft for technical support when the computer breaks every 5 minutes. And the technician started schmoozing with the technician. He told me that most of his job is just a waste of time, because every time we make a little correction with a customer, we have to reboot. And every time you reboot, in the olden days, it took almost 5 minutes. It's a very slow process. Now it's much quicker, but it's still a very painful waste of time to reboot. And that's a muscle for the mind. When the mind shuts down, it doesn't start up right away. It takes time. And the older you get, the more time it takes to reboot. Unless you don't sleep. If you don't sleep, you go and every 30 minutes, you wake up. You never have a deep sleep. But on the other hand, the trade-off is you never really rested. Okay, this is all heavy-duty stuff. The mind is serious stuff. So you're saying over here a whole thesis on the word Be'ashmurais. David did not allow himself to enter into a deep state of sleep. Okay, dreams only happen when you enter into REM. REM is rapid eye movement, which comes when you have to be sleeping for many, many hours.
He had the
kino
to wake him up.
He had the kino and the chatzes laila. What about prophecy? All except Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who said prophecy when he was wide awake. Other prophets had prophecy when they were sleeping. They had to be asleep. And when they were sleeping, question, what are the rules? No one knows any of this. What are the rules of prophecy? Does prophecy demand that a person be in a state of REM for the prophecy to kick in? Or no, prophecy is prophecy. There are no set of rules. Who knows? Who knows how these things work? But in any event, this pasuk over here is according to the Mizrach, dividing between going to sleep and waking up. You go to sleep,
right,
which is a very deep state of unconsciousness. Okay, I once saw a hypnotist. I saw a demonstration. If I wouldn't see with my own eyes, I would never believe it. I would never believe it. And I saw this hypnotist. I could not believe what I was seeing. He put people out.
For real?
For real. And we interrogated. There was one guy that I went to a famous hypnotist to a Shabbaton. The yeshiva didn't know what they were doing. They would never do this again, because it was not what they expected. They went to the Shabbaton in a hotel, and they had some entertainment mitzvah Shabbos, and it was a famous hypnotist. What could be? So they hired him. So he came, and the place was packed. The place must have been there, I don't know, 200 people in the room. And he was asking for volunteers who wants to hypnotize. So a couple people volunteered, and he put them out. He mamish put them out. And he had them, he could have asked them anything he wanted, and it would have been extremely embarrassing what they would have said. But he did have them ask them questions and do things, and people's jaw literally dropped. Like connecting with the subconscious mind. And at the kach, people really right away suspected this was staged, like a Cold War breakout. Cold War? No, it wasn't. We interrogated these people over and over again. We interrogated them. Was this for real? Was this for real? What was going on over here? What was going on? And if I wouldn't know, I would say, how do I even know it was true? Because when he hypnotized these people, there were a lot of kids. And the kids, they were watching. And these kids, all of a sudden, were gone. They were zombies. Without even trying. He took the interview and he was hypnotizing them. And they were kids just watching him. They were just watching him. And all of a sudden, these kids are like, they're in a trance. And one of their mothers freaked out. Like, so right away, he told, whatever. He said, whatever he did, he got him out. I gotta tell you what happened. One of some of the things, like one thing he said, this is really crazy. He said to this person, Mashiach is here. Mashiach has come. He doesn't want to do this. This is shloicha halacha. Mashiach is here. In the room, there's Melech HaMashiach. Go, walk around and be makabel. Find the Melech HaMashiach and be makabel him. And he gets up, and he goes over to. He sees one particular person, and he goes over, and he goes over, and he shakes and he hugs him. Why did you select this person to be the Melech HaMashiach? It really goes to show, like, you don't know how people operate, what goes on in a person's mind. I remember Zachariah Wallerstein was there. Zachariah Wallerstein, Zichron Livracha, was there. He was in the audience. He was there. And the person that he hypnotized was one of the Rebbeim. It was one of the very choshev person. And he asked him all these questions, and he asked him to do things. And I remember Zachariah Wallerstein was blown away. He doesn't get so impressed. You know, he was a tough guy. And like, when it was over, like, he said to, not to me, but a couple of people with us, he says, this person is a very holy person. Like the one that was hypnotized. Like wow. But if you would do it to me, it wouldn't be, the responses would not be like this is like, a revelation. Who do we have here living amongst us? You don't know. People, you don't know who you have, you know? I asked this person later on, how come? So he told me that when he was a child, his mother took him for hypnosis. He says to me, the reason why he was able to be hypnotized and he wasn't afraid of this was because it wasn't new to him. Because when he was a child, he comes out share sometimes online, Alexander. I don't remember his last name. He lives around the corner over here. His name is Alexander. Alex. And he told me that when he was a child, he stutters. When he comes here, he has a stuttering issue. So he told me that when he was a child, his mother, his parents, they hired a hypnotist to help him with his stuttering. So he says the first time the hypnotist came to the house, it took him a very, very long time to get him into a trance. The second time, a little bit less. Each time a little bit less. By the time that he was already familiar with him, when he just saw the hypnotist down the block, he already was in a trance. Right, oh, he saw him down the block, right away he turned into a trance. But one thing I can tell you that I picked up on this, and I was sitting there watching this, I myself felt being drawn in. I felt it. And then right away I caught myself and I turned away. But I'm Amish. Felt it happening to me, being pulled in. And I can honestly say, I really believe it has something to do with the tone of his voice. I think there's a certain frequency in his voice that contributes to a very large degree with his technique in being able to put a person into a trance. There's a certain, we don't know how the mind operates. And when a person's voice, a certain tone, it has an effect. There were two people in this shul who used to come to our shir, and they told me the exact same thing. They dropped out of the shir. They came to the shir for tekufa, and they stopped coming. And they both told me exactly the same thing. They go to many shiurim all over, and only when they come to my shir do they fall asleep. As they told me. They fall asleep. And they said, it's the tone of my voice. They try to say, it's not because I'm boring. Probably is. but they told me there's something about the tone of my voice that puts them to sleep. And I believe it's true. There's truth to it. There's some element of truth. In any event, we're dealing over here with people who are in a subconscious state of mind, going to sleep and waking up. The pasuk breaks it up. Im zicharticha al yitzuoi be'ashmurois ehege bach. There are two different concepts here. There is going to sleep, and it's not clear the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk, according to the mitzvah, this is when you wake up. And Rashi doesn't say, the Rashi seems to say, while you are sleeping. And the terminology is, when I go to sleep, I remember you. It almost sounds like you recite. There's a recital of psukim, of a bracha, the bracha of Hamapil, or Kriyashma. And then when it says, Biashmurois, it says, I think, I meditate. I meditate. According to the Mitsudois, it's when I wake up. When you wake up, you don't meditate. When you wake up in the morning, you recite verses. You say Moda Ani. You make Birchas HaShachar. Why is it called to meditate? That's why I feel this more resonates with me more what Rashi seemed to say. No, you're not waking up. Rashi makes no mention of waking up. Rashi says that while you are sleeping, while the Mishmorais are passing through the night, you are thinking and learning. What do you dream about? People have dreams all the time, and what do you dream about? You dream about what is important to you. Things that bother you, things that touch your neshama, is what you think about. Person wants to make money, you come up with your best ideas in a dream. How are you going to make money? Person wants to get honor. Person wants to engage in certain activities. That's what the way the mind works. When you're sleeping, there's a certain clarity that comes to you while you're sleeping, and it may bubble to your consciousness during the day, but really what the ideas are they're all percolating when you're asleep. If you really think about Hashem, if Hashem is your priority in life, then you'll be percolating with ideas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu while you are fast asleep.
That is very true, but the Gemara also says you dream about what you were thinking about.
Right.
In Echanami, if you think about Hashem during the day, then you'll be Hashem. But it's only, of course, if it means something to you, if it's boring. If something is extremely boring, are you going to think about that when you go to sleep? It's not likely. I don't know how the mind works. Maybe it does.
Supposedly, the early dreams in the evening are washing out the events of the day, and there's dreams we have before you wake up. That's the important dreams that are, if you want to call it a nevuah or something that's bothering you, or the end events of the day is right before you wake up.
The first person that we really find is, I think, Yaakov Avinu. He, after learning 14 years in Shem Ve'Ever, Vayishon, he came back to Beisel, and he lied down. He made a marzev around it, and he went to sleep. Why did he go to sleep? What does the Torah even tell us that he went? What is the purpose of sleep? Why did Hashem create sleep? He nei lo yonum velo yishon shomer Yisrael. Hashem doesn't sleep. If Hashem doesn't sleep, and man is created b'tzelem elokim, so why do we sleep? Man is created b'tzelem. We always ask this question: b'tzelem elokim. If that is the case, it says explicitly in the pasuk: he nei lo yonum velo yishon shomer Yisrael. Hashem doesn't sleep. Nothing. Lo yunum v'lo yishan. So why then, human being who is b'tzelem elokim, why is it that a man sleeps? It's a tough question. What's the purpose of sleeping? To take inventory, to rearrange all the information in your head, to store it in the proper location? You can't do that when you're awake. How does all this work? This is one of the big mysteries. Big mysteries of creation, of why indeed is there something called sleep. In any event, over here it says there are two different elements. It's a beautiful pasuk. David makes a declaration that when I go to sleep, I think about you, and in the middle of the night, I am meditating about you. Is the middle of the night referring to waking up in the middle of the night, or is it, no, while you're dreaming, you're meditating about Hashem? It would possibly appear that's machlis between Rashi and the Mitzudas. Now, in Parashas Balak, this is an old vart, but it's a very powerful vart, and it's not directly related to this, but there is definitely something to discuss. In Parashas Balak, in the third set of brachas that Bilam said about, I was thinking, Bilam said about Klal Yisrael. So it spoke about Klal Yisrael, they wake up like an Ari. The first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Kara, Shochav, Kari, Uchelavi, Mi Yikimenu. Now, is that the pasuk I'm looking at? No, that's not actually the pasuk I'm looking at.
Kari is not soil.
Right.
Is not soil.
Right, correct. So where is that? Is that the second Kelvin of the tribe? Okay, let me go back one pasuk. Here it is. Okay, here it is. Here it is. It's in the second, I think. Ki lo nachash bi Yaakov v'lo kesem bi Yisrael ko'es yeomer li Yaakov uli Yisrael ma po'al kel. Hen, behold, they are a nation. Ki lo vi yokum v'chari yisnaso lo yishkaf ad yoichal teref v'dam chalalim yishtem. So what's pshat in this pasuk? Probably you can read the translation of the words of the pasuk, but the Darshanim explain what is the secret to waking up early in the morning. What is the secret? How do you wake up early in the morning? It's very hard. I have tried literally. I have everything. Baruch Hashem, over these years, I have a collection of devices. I have a collection of devices that no one here in this room has. I have the best. I'll tell you the best. I have first the vibrator shakes. What does it shake? You an alarm clock, you put a device under your pillow.
The whole bed shakes.
Kemat. And it's really amazing. And wow, it really, under your pillow, you put this you set the alarm. You set the alarm, and when you want, and it shakes, it really shakes. Then I have another device where light. It's really great. It really works. It's like very strong light. And it goes on gradually, and it really works. The best thing, and my brother wanted to kill me for this because I tried it on him. It cost a lot of money. I invested in this, and it's so good that I can't do it anymore because it drives me sugar. It's a watch, and it gives you an electric shock. It cost me about $80. I bought this a couple of years ago, and I had a few dollars left. It gives you an electric shock. Maybe it wasn't so. Maybe it was less. I don't remember. And you set it. And after 2 days, this is amazing, after doing it for 2 days, and it goes, you connect to your smartphone, and you get all the settings to degree, after 2 days, I woke up a minute automatically before, because I don't want that electric shock. Can you imagine? It reprogrammed my mind from being in a deep, deep sleep to automatically waking up mamish a minute before it's going to go off, and my mind already figured out because the shock. My brother thought I was crazy, so I gave it to him. You put it on. He puts it on, and I go and I press the smartphone, and I gave him a shock. He right away, he saw this is serious business. It's amazing. It's amazing. There are all different techniques in this world. I once saw a very funny YouTube. They have all these crazy mishigasim. You have an alarm, on your smartphone, you have to do arithmetic. There are certain the alarm clocks. You can't get the alarm clock to turn off unless you do arithmetic, multiplication, division. So you got to use your mind. Then there are alarm clocks that walk away, that roll away. They're on wheels. You have to run after it. And then I saw the YouTube video. There's an alarm clock. Guy's on a bed. And when the alarm goes off, the bed slowly goes and becomes vertical. vertical. And you're on the floor before you wake up. Chazal had the best. Chazal had by far, far, far the best. No rooster. Not a rooster. The best alarm clock. It is this pasuk. The pasuk says, how in the world does a person wake up in the morning like a lion? How? You know what the answer is? Lo yishkav ad yoichal teref. You plan to go to sleep. V'dam chalalim yishem. Maybe this is not even the pasuk. There's another pasuk. I don't know if I'm sure I'm saying the right pasuk. You go to sleep with Yirah Shemayim. If you go to sleep with Yirah Shemayim, then you wake up with Yirah Shemayim. If the Shechiva, if you go to sleep saying Shema with satisfaction, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, then that puts you in a completely different frame of mind. If when you go to sleep, you're planning for tomorrow, you wake up. If when you go to sleep, the attitude is, listen, I'm tired now, tomorrow is another day. Right now, let me shut down. I'm shutting down, I'm dead tired, and that's the end. Today is over, and new, whatever will be tomorrow, we'll start again, we'll figure out tomorrow what we're going to do. It's a disaster. The day begins by going to sleep. The way the day begins is when you go, and the proof to this is, you look in Shulchan Aruch when they describe a person as an obligation to recite every single day 100 blessings. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Mei Machim Liyiro Oisi Al Tikri Mo Elo Meya. Almost all of the Mefarshim that make the calculation of the Meya Brachos, what's the first bracha? What would you think the first bracha is? You think it's Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvos V'Tzvonu Al Netilas Yadayim? Right, you wake up, no. Look at all the Mefarshim. The first bracha is Hamapil. Hamapil Sheina Me'inoy. The bracha of Hamapil at night. The bracha of Hamapil when you go, that's when the day begins. When you go to sleep, not Kriya Shema, you want to start at night? Oh, night. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with Tzei Sakai Chavim. Let's start the calculation of 100 blessings with Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv, there, right away, you recite four blessings. When you daven Ma'ariv, there are four blessings right there. Kriya Shema is surrounded by two before, two after. No, that's the night. So when Shacharis, when you wake up in the morning, you say, Birchas HaShachar, Netilas Yadayim, Tzitzis. No, night. When? The bracha of Hamapil, when you go to sleep. That's when the day begins. If you go to sleep with a plan, you will wake up in the morning refreshed and early. Early to bed, early to rise will make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that's and you look at a pasuk here that we're learning today, and it's discussing this topic, and it says here, Im zichartiha, the MS is, I remember you when al yitzu'ai, and you can elaborate, and because of that, only because I say Kriya Shema, and I make a bracha of Hamapil when I go to sleep, that's the secret to be Ashmurois Egebach Mitsudois, the secret to waking up nice and early in the morning. Mitsudois on this pasuk Zayin Uvi Ashmurois Halayla Kishani Mekitz Mehashina. The Mitsudois learns waking up. The secret to waking up early is to go to sleep with a plan. You want to wake up early to serve Hashem, you go to sleep serving Hashem. Otherwise, it's a very, very hard. All the gadgets that society have to offer, it's like me. Yeah, you get up, I get an electric shock, and then what do? You go back to sleep. You go back to sleep. Or you go, whatever, all these little gadgets. Yeah, they wake you, they tackle, they wake you up. And what do you do then? You press snooze, or you go back to sleep, because I have nothing to look forward to. If you go to sleep with something to look forward to, then when you get up, you get up. That's the only real way to wake up. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk ches ki hayisa ezros li uvitzel kinafecha aranein. You Hashem were a help and assist to me, and in the shadow of your wings do I aranein, do I sing. Mitsudois David pasuk. Due to the refuge of Tzel Kenefecha Aranein Lucha, I will sing to you. Okay, what does Rashi say? Rashi on this pasuk says there is no Rashi. Okay, so let's go to the next pasuk. Davka Nafshi Acharecha Ki Tomecha Yiminecha. My neshama. I'm sorry, what did I say? Acharecha B Tomecha Yiminecha. My neshama cleaves. Davka is a very powerful word. Where do you find the word davka? By Shechem. Shechem said about Dina, davka nafshai. Okay, there are three words by Shechem. There's davka, chofetz, and cheshek. There's a very popular drush in Parashas Vayishlach. When Shechem, teitzei Dina went out, lirois bivinois saaretz. I saw in that sefer that I quoted you last week, about insults in Chazal, all different types of insults. It's a fascinating sefer. It's hard reading. It's not an easy reading sefer, but it's a fascinating sefer. And he has an entire section dealing with all of the parts of Tanakh that are very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand, like what's really going on over this. I told you one example during the times of the Shoftim. By Yamim Haheim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Ish Hayosha Be'Ein of Yaseh. It sounds like the ultimate insult. The ultimate insult. And he quotes there from Rabbi Avigdor Miller that it's the ultimate compliment. That they don't need a Melech. And when it says the word Einav does not mean in your own eyes, it means in Hashem's eyes. By Yamim Haheim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. You don't need a Melech. You need a Melech to force you, to whip you into shape. Ish, every person, Hayashar, he did what was correct. Be'einav, in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when everyone is doing what's correct, you don't need a melech. A melech, you need a melech when people don't behave, and there has to be accountability and punishment and encouragement. When you're weak and the Yetzirah is getting to you, you need a melech. Okay, that was one example where Yemahabek Apostle, which would appear to be the ultimate insult to the ultimate compliment. Another pasuk he quotes, I don't remember if this was from Avigdor Miller or from someone else. Fateitze dina lirois b'vnoi saretz. So most mafarshim say, dina was a yatzonis. She, you know, it's like today you would say she was on the edge. She was going a little bit off. Actually, someone told me of a woman, I was speaking to a woman, she told me that she gave a speech, and she said in her speech that dina went off the derech. And she was attacked by the people there in the Beis Yaakov. Where does it say that? Whoever told you that she went off the derech? Where does it say that? And she told me she remembers seeing this. She read this. She saw this in the Chazal. And she asked me to help her find the Makar. But the Mefarshim, they do allude to it, that Dina Vateitse Dina Lirois Bivnois Aretz. Doesn't say she went off the derech. It just, she was curious. She was curious. She wanted to have a good time. Okay, you don't want to sit in the house the whole day. You want to get out there and see the world. You go to Bergdorf, you go to Macy's, you go to Saks, see what's out there. Okay, you go have a good time. You have to go be stuck in the house the whole day. She wanted to go out. Doesn't mean she went to Chasam one of the Derech Chasam Shalom. But where does it come from? Leah. She wasn't. Who else? Leah went out to Yaakov when Yaakov came back. When Yaakov came back from the field. And Leah and Rachel b'mei kitzir chitim, right? So Reuven brought. It says that Reuven brought to his mother fertility pills, and Rachel said, "Give it to me, and in exchange you can be with Yaakov Avinu." And it says that she went out to the field to greet Yaakov and to tell Yaakov, you're coming to me. You're not going to Rachel. So there they want to make a connection that there's this, it comes from the mother. She also had this need to be out there in the world. So many of the commentators, they look at this in a very negative way. And they put a very negative spin on what it says about, you know, the Torah is very critical. The Torah is coming to super, super magnified, teeny, teeny minor imperfections for us to learn from. And that's talking the way I always remember learning it. You always get this sense is that the Torah's goal is to super, duper magnify little imperfections. And there's a lot of criticism in the Torah, which you'd be very careful not to go overboard. So in this beautiful Sefer, which quotes everything there is cited by the major Chazal, it's a chas v'sholoim to say such a terrible thing about the Emois, about Dina. Chas v'sholoim, chas v'sholoim. Dina was a member of Chabad. She was a shiluach. She went out to be mekarev. She cannot tolerate that the Welt is a goyish Welt. The world is they're not interested in knowing about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vateitze dina lirois bivnoi saretz kiruv rechoikim. Just like, did anyone ever say anything bad about Sara Imenu? Avraham migayer es ho anoshim. V'sara migayer es hanoshim. How what? She sat home in the house? She went out.
Rabbi, I have a question. Okay, so you said that there is the neshama of Shechem. He was cleaving to.
We didn't get to Shechem yet. Wait, we didn't get to Shechem yet. We didn't get. Well, let's finish up the thought, then you'll ask. Let me just finish the thought. So, Vateitze Dina Lerois Bivnoi Saaretz, she went out to the world to bring them Tachas Kanfei HaShechina. It's a whole new twist. A whole new twist. And only look at the Torah in only the most positive sense. Who gave you permission to go say something negative about anyone? You're gonna and the Velt, that's the way the word, the Velt, that's the approach. The approach is yes. The Torah here is not coming to whitewash anything. The Torah here is to magnify super duper imperfections as a Musar Sefer for us to learn from. That's the approach that's very widespread. Other Gedolim are not comfortable with that approach. Who made you a balabas to look for negative things? Adarabba, work backwards and find only Milos. Vateit Seidina. And who saw her? Shechem. And what does Shechem say about this young lady? Also, you know, makes Shechem a whole different story. Because, you know, when the person that goes out to do is because, you know, they're rebellious. Rebellious. Okay, let's say you have so that Shechem finds her. And the Torah elaborates very, very much. And it says three words Chamor, Avisham, what a name of a person. What a name. Chamor, Avishchem, goes to Yaakov to negotiate. He uses three very powerful words. Number one, Cheshek, Chofetz, and Dovka. So if you're going to say that she was a rebellious child, and she went out, she can't stand the Beis Yaakov wearing a uniform every day and being part of this ultra-Orthodox community where you have to fit, you gotta follow the script. So she's rebellious. The Torah is telling us that Shechem liked a rebel. Really? He liked a rebellious person? You know, at the end of the day, in the same way she rebelled against her family, she'll rebel against you. What goes around comes around. The Torah is telling us, Shechem was obviously a very serious person. When the Torah wouldn't go talk about Stam, a lowlife, dealing with complicated people. And if Shechem saw in her milas of Cheshek, Chofetz, and Choshka, she's a Yatzonis. She's a rebellious child. This is not a good thing. She rebelled against her family, and her family, by Yaakov Avinu, called Kevuda Bas Melech Penima. You don't do this. You don't go out into the Welt to go to Broadway shows. This is not a good thing. She's rebelled. She's going to give you tzaras. You're going to have a happy marriage with her. But if you learn that Tina was such a holy person. She wanted the whole world to be makir, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Her neshama was so overflowing with ahava. Oh, that paints a totally different picture. When Shechem says Chofetz, Cheshek, and Dovka, a whole different picture. Now, what he did was Shelo Kedin, and he paid his life for it. But it puts the whole story in a whole different perspective.
When you compare it to Leah, she was not yet a neat like.
Right, but there's a tinge, a little teeny.
Rabbi.
Right. I ain't problem. But without this, not that. But the point over here.
I have a question, Rabbi.
Yeah.
Can we say? Of course, what he did was very bad. But can we say that actually Shechem, his spiritual side was awakened by Dina, and there was some spiritual.
I'm not milumot in this. This field, this is Kabbalistic stuff. Merami Pano, he was the Gilgal of this one, the Gilgal of that one. This is not my field. You learn the psukim very simple. He saw something very special about her, but the end of the day is what he did was criminal. What he did is criminal. It's criminal, and you don't do this. What did the children say? The bottom line is, This has happened in, look at intermarriage. In the United States, intermarriage is at least 75%. Why do the goyim want to marry us? They hate us. Why do all, you know, there are two sides. So you want to say, why do the Jews want to marry a goy? But why does the goy want to marry a Jew? The answer is they see something very special, and there's what to see. There is what to see. But just because there is what to see, you know, there's lo ya'asa kein bim kameinu. This is not the way things go. Hachzoina, this is not the way things go. He paid for his life. What exactly awakened him? You want to see, there are many, many approaches to this. And we don't need to get into the supernatural, into the, you know, the Shama. It's just a very posh.
Come on, he lured her
and then forced her. You can read this story as a very simple, she was a pretty girl.
That blames the victim here.
What?
I don't accept any blaming the victim.
Right, that is forbidden. You don't blame the victim. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom, that's why he was killed. Shechem was executed in the most brutal way. He got what he deserved. That's the lesson is. Don't make up new morals. He committed a crime. He raped a girl. I mean, what's there to talk about? That's the end. He was. Why did he do it? No, ayin panim l'tar. All right, that's an outside. The fact of it is, I just want to take this word, dafka. Dafka is one of the most powerful words, and that list of chafetz, choshka, dafka, the hierarchy. Which word is the most powerful? I'm not even sure. I don't remember. There's a lot of Torah on this. But one thing we have to remember, it does say v'atem hadveikim v'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayayim. The word dveikus alkein. What?
I thought there's a passage somewhere with a dafka.
La'avas Hashem lokechem uledavka ba. Oh, davka virus davka ba, virus davka ba. Naomi, okay. Alken yazov ish es ove vias imoy v'davak beishtoi. The word davak is a powerful word. It talks about marriage with the Bnei Shalom. It talks about Malchus David, virus davka ba. You see that the whole Malchus of David came from it all started with that word, like you said, Virus Dovkaba. So the word is, this is not a simple word. This word is a powerful word. Dovka nafshi acharecha, why? Ki tam acharecha, bi tamecha yiminecha. Your right hand has supported me. Mitzudois David, pasik tes, Dovka, Alki davka nafshi leleches acharecha, because my neshama had a yearning, an intense yearning to follow you, lezed in reward, tamcha bi yeminecha lebal emot, your right hand supported that I should not falter. Rashi, sheloi epol, same thing. Okay, and with that we're going to conclude tomorrow. We're going to go to pasuk. I thought we'd do it today. There's some really beautiful things in pasuk yud. Nu yisoidos. New chidushim never heard before, and pasuk yud in the mefarshim we're going to learn tomorrow. Take a short break, and I want to do a sequel to what we did last week about Sefiras Ha'omer. I have some really, really good stuff on Sefiras Ha'omer from Shleimi Mitzion when we come back.
That's right.